Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm the host, Rick Hughes. And for the next 30 minutes, please stay with me because this could be the most important 30 minutes in your entire life. This show, The Flatline, is designed for motivation, inspiration, and education, and we do it without manipulation. That means we have no hidden agendas on the show, nothing we're trying to sell you. We're not trying to get you to join up to anything. It's trying to give you some accurate information. We're not here to manipulate you or to convince you or to persuade you about anything. Just give the facts, the truth. Document the truth from the Word of God. This is a Christian talk show, and it's not a dialogue, it's a monologue. However, this is one of the few shows where it's the message and not the man that's important. What's important is the Word of God that you will hear that is alive and powerful and sharper than even a two-edged sword. And that will allow you to verify and identify God's plan for your life if you would like to do that. And then you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to that plan. But for the next few minutes, The Flatline is on the air. You're going to learn some phenomenal truths from the Word of God that literally have the ability to change your life if you implement them into practice in your soul. Remember that your soul is a battlefield. We've been talking about that, how to arm your soul and prepare for this battle. It's a battlefield for your thought life, for your thinking, and every day there's a war for what you think. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have made a decision to accept Him as your Savior, then this battlefield is a real war for your thoughts. If you're not a believer, if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, then there's also a battlefield for your thinking there as well, because the thoughts will be thrown at you that Christ is not real, the Bible is not real, God is not real, and you will hear atheists and agnostics that will again and again and again try to persuade you to ignore the claims of God. When the Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, that is the most powerful truth that has ever been told in the history of the world. And yet it is never any truth has been attacked as much as this one. God doesn't love you. Jesus is not real. The Bible is full of mistakes, and over and over and over again you will hear people deny the credibility of the Scriptures. Well, I'm not here to defend that. I'm not here to prove them wrong. I'm just here to give you the Scriptures. And you can figure it out for yourself. You're smart enough. You know up from down. You know a phony when you hear a phony and a fake when you see a fake. All you have to do is listen. And God the Holy Spirit will take the word that I give you and plant it in your heart, and it will grow in grace and knowledge. And you will come to understand some wonderful things about the character of God and how much He loves you and has provided for you. Now, we are studying the soul, and remember, here's the concept. The FLOT line is the acronym FLOT, FLOT, forward line of troops. And the concept is this: that even though adversity is inevitable in your life, stress is optional. You do not have to live a stress-filled life. There's a better way to live. It is technically called the abundant life in the Bible, or the Christian life, lived to its fullest potential. And as you take the Word of God and learn it, as you're controlled by God's Spirit, then these two power options in your life, the filling of the Holy Spirit and the dynamics of the Word of God, combine to give you the most fantastic happiness and joy and peace the world has ever known. This is what the Christian life is about. Yes, it's about going to heaven. Yes, it's about having eternal life. And yes, Christ died so that you might live forever in the presence of God and with Christ and the angels. But remember this, you're still alive. You're still on this earth, and there is a plan for you while you are here. And that plan is for you to learn the mind of Christ and to represent Christ and His character assets through your life and with the people you meet every day. And that takes some studying. That takes some growing. That takes you learning some things. And so we have been talking about how to arm your soul in this war, in the angelic conflict. Have you ever heard that term before? That's a a term or a phrase that my pastor coined years ago, the angelic conflict. That's the conflict that you and I are involved in at this current moment. In eternity past, we know that Satan challenged God the Father in heaven over an authority issue and was cast out of heaven because he attempted to rule in heaven and to rise above God, and he was cast to the earth. And we know that ever since the garden, when he deceived Eve, he was pronounced judged in Genesis 3:15, and that he would be defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that when Christ went to the cross and uttered the words, Tetelestai, it is finished. Those are the words that he uttered. It is finished. When he uttered those words, that the complete work of God was done and Satan was done for. However, the sentence has not been carried out yet, and we are in the appeal stage, and he has appealed that sentence. And you are the witnesses that God is using in the appeal stage of the angelic conflict. And it's your decisions, it's your life, that will ultimately vindicate the justice of God and convict Satan to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Now, God is the one who created the human mind. He created your mind. He created me. And God has the ability to read our minds like an open book. Now, keep this in your thoughts here. We don't all have the same IQ. I'm not a genius, and there are very few geniuses around. Most of us have about a room temperature IQ. But God created us, and even though he knows everything about us, he gives us the freedom to think and the freedom to choose. God gives you the freedom to think and the freedom to choose. And you have an enemy in your ability to think, and that's called your emotions. And if your emotions control you, you won't think, you will just act. And when you make a decision based on emotions, 90% of the time, it winds up being a bad decision. And then you have the choice. You can say yes, or you can say no. And when you make bad choices, bad decisions, then they limit future options. So you're in a spiritual war every day. And if you're a believer, that is, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and Satan wants to, number one, discourage you. So he will attack you in ways that will discourage you, especially if you're dangerous. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean that you're growing. You're involved in your church. You're learning the Word of God. You're beginning to represent Jesus Christ to your friends, and you're dangerous. And so Satan is going to attempt to discourage you. And how does he do that? Well, by your own failures, by your own inconsistencies. And you know, and I know, that we're not perfect and we mess up. And he will keep bringing those back up to you. But remember that problem-solving device number one is rebound. And rebound says if we confess our sin, then God is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. And so when we rebound, God not only forgives us, but he forgets it. But Satan won't let you forget it because he will keep prodding your conscience to bring it back up. And he will tell you, don't you remember what you did? Don't you remember what you did? Don't you remember what you did? And he's constantly trying to lay a guilt trip on you. God doesn't work like this. I promise you that God can convince you when you sin, and he can convict you. But when you confess your sin, he doesn't lay a guilt trip on you. Organized religion will lay a heavy guilt trip on you. Organized religion may want you to get up in front of the church and confess your sins in front of everybody. And that is totally wrong. The Bible never authorizes any Christian to be publicly humiliated for a sin they committed. And yet there are some denominations that even do that today. And that's what discourages people from growing spiritually. Another tactic that Satan likes to use is to get you disillusioned. How does he get you disillusioned? By getting your eyes on other people. If he can get you to put your eyes on people, if he can get you to put your eyes on the pastor or other people in the congregation, then he can get you to be disillusioned. Now, he can also attempt to distract you. And he can distract you by getting you involved in the details of life. The details of life always lead you in a frantic search for happiness. And so if you start thinking that this would make me happy or that would make me happy or whatever, some people or circumstances or some environment, you know, if you think that, if you get into that sort of mental attitude, then you're going to be distracted. A lot of people think if I could just have a career and make a lot of money and get a nice house and have some kids and get a new car and be the epitome of success in the neighborhood. See, that can totally distract you from your spiritual life because you will not have time to pay attention to the Word of God. And then Satan will wind up defeating you. You'll wind up seated on the sidelines. You'll be defeated in your life, and God won't be able to put you in the game. He won't be able to use you as a starter. You'll be injured. You'll be sitting on the sideline with your jersey off, watching everyone else be involved in the game. And through all of this, he can disenfranchise you of your legal rights. That means you're an adopted son of God or an adopted daughter of God through Christ, and you have a right to all that Christ is heir to. But Satan would love to stop you from fulfilling the plan of God. He would love to stop you from getting any rewards. He would love to stop you from representing Christ or glorifying Christ with your rewards. So he is actually jealous of you. Yes, I can assure you he's jealous of you. That's why he hates you so much. But as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we're told that he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. And that means that he's sneaky. That means that he works with other people in a pack or a pride of lions. That means that he has a strategy towards you. And if you're ever going to be the believer that God intended for you to be, you're going to have to arm your soul and protect yourself. And God is going to hold you responsible for what you think or what you choose, because this is very important in your life. Your mental attitude determines who you are and what you do. And it motivates you and influences you in all your actions and in all your behaviors. So we have seen where the Bible says that we're to put on the armor of God in Ephesians 6, verses 11 through 17. And we saw that the verb put on is a Greek verb, and the verb is enduo. That's the way the word is pronounced in the Greek manuscript. And all verbs show action. This verb is what we call the imperative mood in the Greek, meaning this is not a request, it's a command. God is mandating that you put on every piece of his armor so that you are not vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. He wants you to stand firm. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds." And we destroy arguments and every proud obstacle that's raised up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. So here's the deal. If you're going to arm your soul, you're going to have to guard what you think. If you're going to arm your soul, you're going to have to guard what you think. Which means, number one, you cannot allow yourself to get drawn into emotions where you don't think. And number two, you must think divine viewpoint and not human viewpoint. And divine viewpoint is the rationale of God. Human viewpoint is the rationale of Satan. And number three, you can't allow yourself to be sucked into mental attitude sins that will destroy you. For example, there's a great deal of truth when people say, "I'm worried sick." You ever heard anybody say that? "Oh, I'm just so worried. I'm worried sick." Doctors tell us that worrying can actually make you sick. There's actually a connection between the way you feel and the way you think. And this is called, in the mind of doctors, psychoses. It's a psychoses of the mind. In order that you could understand the correlation between what we think and how we feel, you have to understand what psychosomatics is. And it's two words put together. It's made up of two Greek words, the word psuche, which means your soul, and soma, which means your body. And so the concept of psychosomatics is this, that anytime you have a mental attitude of worry or fear or anxiety or tension, continual mental tension, that is going to eventually overflow and affect your body, eventually. And there are many people today who have psychosomatic-induced illnesses because they worry. They have never come to a relaxed mental attitude. They've never began to experience the joy of the Lord in their life. And all I'm really saying here is that medical science has discovered what was recorded in the scriptures, that psychological problems can be related to our thought process. So what this means is that when we think divine viewpoint, the inner result is that we can have peace in our souls. We can have a relaxed mental attitude. We can stay stable, and we can have inner happiness. So the Bible tells us this, that we're to take captivity our thoughts. Listen to Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts. And look and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting. So the psalmist is actually asking God to inventory his thought life. Now in Revelation 2:23, God says that he actually does that. Listen as I give you a modified, expanded translation of that passage. Revelation 2:23, I am he who constantly inventories the emotions and the stream of consciousness, and I will impose punishment to each of you according to your production. Now, there is God looking at you, looking at what you think, weighing in his justice and righteousness the attitude that you have. And the worst attitude that any of us could ever have is the attitude of arrogance. This all started with the revolt of Satan in eternity past, and you'll hear very few pastors talk about this. But arrogance always starts with self-justification. When you justify why you are right and everyone else is wrong, when you justify why it's okay to do something that you know is sinful, and then you deceive yourself into thinking that you haven't really sinned, and then you become totally absorbed with what you've done to the point of eventually you are destroyed by it. That's what arrogance does to you. Now, God says he makes war against the arrogant people, but he gives grace to the humble. So if you want to avoid this arrogance, then listen to what the Bible says. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And then it goes on to say, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So this is a different attitude. God thinks differently. While there are many different mental attitudes, there are only two basic viewpoints here. The viewpoint of God and the viewpoint of man. How does God see it? How does man see it? So we call how God sees it divine viewpoint. And we call how man sees it human viewpoint. Now thinking in terms of divine viewpoint, God said, put on the armor. I've given you armor. This is a metaphor here. So that you will not be captured by Satan's thinking. So that you will not be defeated or coerced by the thinking of the devil and buy into human viewpoint thinking. And the Bible tells us to take every thought captive, to be careful about what we think about. And it tells us in Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is righteous, whatever is pure, whatever is of love, whatever is commendable, if there's any virtue and anything worthy of praise, then think about these things. Unfortunately, we don't do that. And so the Bible tells us that we don't have a battle against flesh and blood. It's not where the real battle is, that it's against rulers, authorities, world powers, and spiritual forces in Ephesians 6, verse 12. And this is actually Satan's strategic forces here. This is what these are. It's his demon army. And there he has a demon army. Don't misunderstand this. Satan is not omnipresent. He cannot be in two cities at one time. He can only be in one place at one time since he's a created being. And since he can only be in one place at one time, he has fallen angels that are demons that work in communication with him so that he's able to keep a check on us and to know what we're doing. And so the Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse 13, since he has this demonic force that keeps a check on us, that lures us, that tempts us, that we're to pick up the armor of God and put on every piece of it and stand. Stand in verse 14. Now here is an interesting word. It's the word histamine, like an antihistamine or histamine. And it means to stand against, but it's in the imperative mood in the Greek. Again, this is not a request. This is a mandate from God. Stand against Satan. He doesn't say attack him. He says stand. And how you do it is to put on the armor of God, and the first thing you put on is the belt of truth. The belt of truth. You can read it in verse 14. Put on the belt of truth. The belt of truth is the word of God that you have learned and believed and put it into your soul in such a way that it stabilizes every other piece of the armor. The belt is what all of the armor connected to, the breastplate connected to the belt, the weapons hung from the belt, all of the shin guards and the leg guards connected to the belt. And so the belt is where everything starts. And the belt of truth in your life is the Word of God, not human viewpoint thinking that is fathered by Satan himself, but divine viewpoint thinking. You see, every decision that you make depends on what you think, because every decision you make comes from a thought. It eventually leads to an action. And if you're thinking human viewpoint, if that's the predominant way that you think, then your Christian life is going to be neutralized. You're not going to have a very successful Christian life, and you're going to get knocked down, and you'll try to get up, and you'll get knocked down, and you'll try to get up, and you'll get knocked down, and then you'll hear someone like me or some other pastor that makes sense to you. I'm not a pastor, by the way. And you'll hear someone that makes sense, and you'll want to know it, but you'll be too tired to put forth the effort to ever learn it. And so you'll just fade away into defeat and oblivion. Yes, you'll go to heaven. Yes, you'll have eternal life, minus very many rewards, because you didn't have the energy to stick it out. You didn't have the energy to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because Satan successfully defeated you through distraction, discouragement, disillusionment, and now you're disenfranchised from your rewards you could have gotten in eternity future. So, instead of trying to be spiritual by means of what you learn, you go into some sort of taboo, so you don't take the time to learn the scriptures. So, since you're not involved in a church where the Word of God's being taught very often, you get involved in taboos and you say, well, I'm a good Christian because I don't drink, or I'm a good Christian because I don't smoke, or I'm a good Christian because I don't look at magazines, or I don't go to movies, or yada, yada, yada. Or you get into some sort of ecstatics where I'm a good Christian because I got the ghost last night at church, and God was really there, and you should have been there, and you should have felt it. It was awesome, and we sang these songs, and everybody was weeping and crying, and we all went to the altar, and God was there. See, that's a dangerous thing, because you let emotions dictate your worship. That's not the way God set it up, not the way God designed it. And then you go from one emotional high to the next, and you never can quite get enough of it. And so you always figure when you don't have a great emotional service that it just wasn't quite as good as the last one. Some people actually get into asceticism, thinking that they are appealing to God by denying themselves certain things. For example, when I was a young Christian, I was taught that if you're going to be a godly person, you shouldn't own very much of wealth. You know, I mean, I was even taught that you should just get a little old car and drive it around. And, you know, I was told about the rich man that gave away all his money and only had one suit and drove a little old car around and gave his testimony about how tithing caused him to have great blessing in his life. What a joke. What a lie. You see, this is how Satan works, and this is how organized religion works. Tithing doesn't cause you to have great blessing in your life. Blessing in your life is related to what you think, not what you do. And it's very possible that you can tithe and be doing a right thing in a wrong way and not be rewarded for it ever. Because God has designed your spiritual life to be a life of grace, not a life of works, not to have a predominant human viewpoint thinking, and not trying to be spiritual by some sort of taboo, some sort of ecstatics or asceticism, and operating on some human viewpoint where you think that you must work hard for what you get from God. That is not the way the Bible lays it out at all. Yet, that's what organized religion does. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, "Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" We have the mind of Christ. And so it is the Bible that's the only source of divine viewpoint. It's the very mind of Christ. It's the living Word of God. And it's expressed in written form. Wow. The Bible is a living Word of God expressed in written form. Therefore, the most important book you possess is your Bible, and you must take what's in that Bible and put it in your head. And that's why Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." But the general view today seems to be that when people become Christians, they should stop using their minds and instead operate on their emotions. And they work themselves up into some sort of religious emotional experience. And it's a gross misunderstanding of what the Word of God really teaches. And so, you know, we often assume that people that have a lot of physical strength and are the bully, strong man, he can lift a lot of weights. But really, the toughest people in the world are people that have a mental attitude toughness. They never give in to defeat and never give up when facing tough things in their life. They never quit. It's your mental attitude that makes the difference. Because you could be physically exhausted and you may be completely defeated as far as the odds are concerned, like in a football game. But no one can stop us from thinking the truth and living by the hope and the confidence and the victory that comes through the Word of God. No one can stop you from thinking those things that eventually overcome the pressure and the adversity of the situation you find yourself in. See, the Christian way of life is designed that a believer can think at all times. You can think at all times. One of the byproducts of being a mature Christian is the ability to discern the real issues in life and to see life habitually from divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint. And when you concentrate on human viewpoint and emotionalism, then you have been defeated by Satan and you have been blinded. And therefore, the Bible tells us, don't be conformed to this world in Romans 12:2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. That's right. God has a perfect plan for your life. And it starts with you learning His Word. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.